In the book, there's a postcard that says, well, there's a postcard and a small envelope glued to it, and the envelope is closed, and on the postcard it reads, I've sealed up my secret in this envelope, and it's sealed forever, something like that. Do I respect what the sender has requested or said? I looked in that envelope because I don't think they said don't look in it. But there was a postcard on the site recently that said, does anybody remember about sealing up a secret? It said, I put my secret in this envelope and sealed it. I don't want you to look. Most people would. I wonder if you will. And I posted it on the web just like that. And I never opened up that envelope to look inside. So I kind of make individual decisions on that. But I love the secrets from people that have an interesting twist about confession or what the secret means to them or their relationship with their secrets. And also, I think the project is so much about mystery, and I like the idea of people not knowing what that secret was in the envelope. So do I have any regrets about going on this journey, or what's my family's reaction been? Well, my family's reaction has been very varied. I think my daughter believes that all of her friends' dads receive hundreds of secrets every day in the mail, too, like it's a normal thing. My wife has been very supportive of the project. My mother has called the project diabolical. And when she said that, I was actually at my desk by a computer. I typed in diabolical, and I said, Mom, you mean of the devil? And she said, well, maybe that's a little bit strong. My father and I have had some really great conversations, usually starting with the idea of discussing secrets with each other that we've been carrying. And I think that's kind of a good model for, you know, what to shoot for in terms of trying to achieve art. I think if the art that you're working on is, if one of your parents finds it unsettling, but the other parent approves of it, that's a pretty good place to be, kind of straddling both worlds like that. I don't have any regrets about the project at all. It's been a wonderful journey for me. In fact, it's really given me more of a sense of spirituality, I think, because in my own life, I had a very difficult childhood. And through this project, I've almost been able to see that you can divide people into two types, people who've had, you know, suffering and a difficult childhood, and people who've had fairly easy lives and haven't experienced much tragedy. And I think for the people who've had lives without a lot of tragedy, the project is helpful because it allows them to see other people who haven't been so fortunate. But for folks like me who've had some suffering in their life, I think it's a positive way to find solace. I think that when you read other people's secrets that contain very difficult issues, in a way, you can share your own burden with those people as well. It feels comforting. And so that's what the journey's been like for me. And in my own life, I feel as though the second half of my life has been able to make sense out of experiences and feelings I had during the first half of my life that I found very confusing and difficult to deal with. No regrets. A lot of the secrets carry a lot of weight, and they aren't always optimistic or hopeful. And so how is it that I can read so many of those and go on with the project and not have it affect me? Do I ever feel like I want to reach out and help people? I think one of the reasons that so many of the sentiments and feelings and experience are kind of down or depressing is because of the nature of secrets. I think if we had these experiences that were hopeful and joyful and happy in our lives, we would put them on the top of our resume or call up our friends or put them in a song. You know, we wouldn't keep them secret. So I think the very nature of what we keep secret kind of defines it as being something dark, something difficult, something that makes us feel different. I've received a lot of email from people who talk about the process they went through in sharing their secret with me and how facing it on a postcard and then releasing it to a stranger brought them a sense of closure or healing, or at least allowed them to take that first step in addressing their own secret. So when I read difficult or painful secrets, that's what I try to identify with, that hopefully the individual was helped by the process of sharing, and it allows them to take another step and another step in whatever they think is appropriate for them and how they want to deal with that secret. And for me, as I mentioned before, seeing other people's difficult secrets, for me, it's like a brotherhood thing. It's like I feel a connection. I feel like my burden has been lifted a little bit more. Although, I will say that during the post-secret project early on, I'd never had a worse back pain. So maybe like metaphorically, I was carrying a lot of burdens until I figured out how to deal with it a little bit better. I think that's a great story. She was talking about how she wrote down her thoughts and burnt the card instead of mailing it or sharing it with anybody. I get a lot of emails from people talking about how they found a way to get their secret out in a way that was appropriate for them without mailing me a postcard. And that's fine. Save your stamps if you can. There's an email I received last week that I'm going to put on the website on Sunday, and I love it. It's about this couple who was exploring their intimacy, and they said that they had some secrets that they were keeping from each other, and they wanted to share them, but they didn't know how. So one night, they got markers, and on parts of their body where their partner couldn't see, they each wrote their secret out. I thought that was beautiful, and that's going to be on the website next week. And I think there's, you know, a dozen or 100 other really creative ways to share your secret, to get it out in a way that won't be self-censored. I think, too, sometimes, you know, on the internet, there's some other sites where people confess ideas or whatever, and they don't involve pictures or drawing. There's no artistic element. And I think that makes post-secret a little bit unique, the artistic element, the graphic element. But I also think it makes it easier for people to let their secrets escape. I think that sometimes we self-censor what we can write about ourselves, but we might express it in a picture or in a drawing in a way that says things that we would never be able to say with our mouth, and also that other people can understand without a word being spoken through the art on the card. And I think that's where a lot of the beauty comes from. Yeah, there's 70,000 secrets, and I read everyone, and I keep everyone, and I even keep some of the envelopes they come in. And I think it is a singular archive that deserves to be kept and, you know, could contain a lot of valuable information at some point. So I would hope that I could donate it to the Smithsonian. In fact, I was at a Smithsonian museum a couple of weeks ago speaking with some curators about a project there. So I think there is some potential to at least preserve the archive, if not digitally download it or make it searchable through an index. People often ask why I don't put more secrets or images on the web, and I'll share a secret with you guys tonight about how you can see more images if you want to. If you Google post-secret and run an image search, about 4,000 post-secret images are stored in different places on the internet. So that's a way to see more secrets if you want to. How do I organize the secrets? It's controlled chaos. One of the first secrets I received was, it looked like two shopping lists had been scribbled on the back of a post-secret card, and it came in the mail. And when I first saw it, I was a little bit disappointed because I felt like the person had just kind of played a joke on me or something. But in the corner of the car, the person had squeezed in, "I'm ashamed to admit what I've become." And I really liked that because I could sense a story behind that card. I could sense somebody who had taken a card from me and had a secret to share, but also part of them didn't want to share that secret. And so they tried to use it up as a shopping list, not once, but twice. But that part that wanted to share the secret eventually got it out in the corner of that card, and they mailed it to me. And I tell you this story because it was one of the first cards I received, and I put it on our kitchen bar, and it sat there for a while, and eventually it got lost. I think my wife threw it away thinking it was an old shopping list. But that's pretty much the only card I've ever lost, and from that point on, I really started organizing and keeping the cards in a much more ordered fashion. But if you want to help me organize the cards, come on over. There's a whole lot of work we can do together. Have I ever gotten a secret and thought I knew who the secret was from? Yeah. I received a secret from a neighbor of mine, and the secret came on a postcard that was a promotional piece for a book that he had just published. And he's actually a good friend of mine and the father of one of my daughter's best friends. And the postcard read, I'm so pissed at my neighbor for coming up with a better book than I did. They're all supposed to be anonymous, but I don't know if that one really qualified. Wouldn't it be nice if it worked like that, if we could resolve all these issues? Yeah. See, it hasn't. But I think when you're dealing with art, you have to look beyond the specifics. Like, sometimes I get asked if I think all the postcards are true. And I don't think they're true, but I don't think of them as being true or false. I think of them as works of art. And in the same way that you could walk into a library and find value in the fiction and the nonfiction section, or when you go to a museum, you don't ask, is this sculpture true or false? I think the secrets are art, and they work like that too. And what I'm getting at is that even though nobody has, you know, specifically apologized or responded to me on a personal level through a secret or through an email, I receive that same solace through the emails and postcards I get on a daily basis. And even though they're not specifically addressed to me, just like a couple of the examples I talked about earlier, the girl who thought she was ugly and the other girl who'd victimized her friends, we kind of find what we need to hear in different ways through the artwork or through the email. I have that experience, and other people have told me visiting the website, they have that experience too. So even though it's not done in a specific way like you suggest, I think emotionally we still can find some of that same satisfaction that we need to discover one way or another. When I select the cards for the blog every week, I like to choose cards specifically because of what they say and the reaction I have to them and that sense of authenticity. But I also like to kind of round out the collection by composing it so that it touches on many different areas. And one thing I look for is kind of a new spin or a new twist or something fresh about the idea of secrets. And the cards you talk about sometimes appeal to me for that reason. I posted a card a few weeks ago that said, "Dear mail carrier, if you're reading this postcard, please tear off a corner." And it arrived with a corner torn off. So I kind of like the idea of kind of hacking the system or playing games with the Postal Service and with the idea of secrets. So I give those cards points for their creativity. What secret makes me the most angriest? Well, I'd probably been working on the project for 3 or 4 months before I cried for the first time when I read a secret. I was working on the book with the person who was writing the foreword, Ancy Fisher, and she was vacationing in Hawaii. And she called me up and she said, "Frank, I want to continue working on the forward, but I've kind of lost the feel for the project. Can you kind of bring me up to date or talk to me about it a little bit?" So I started reading her postcards that were going to be in the book. And I read about 20, and I got to this one, and I just couldn't finish reading it. For me, the saddest cards are from young people. And this card, I'll describe it the best I can. It's in the book. There's a picture of a girl's arm. And then there's a picture of a prosthetic limb. And the girl wrote on the card, "When my friends complain to me about their moms and talk about how they're arguing with them, I smile and pretend like I agree. But actually, I'd give my right arm just to have my mother still alive." So I made it through saying it. I feel proud of myself. People randomly showing up at my doorstep. My actual home address is on the book cover, and my actual home address is on the blog that's visited by 3 million people every month. When I showed my wife the book cover, her first response was, "Okay, now we're buying that new house for sure, Frank." I really think one of the reasons the project has developed and grown the way it has is because I've taken these steps to make myself vulnerable, though. I feel like strangers are trusting me with their secrets, and they feel like they can trust me. One of the reasons is because I've made myself vulnerable first by sharing my home address with them, not a P.O. box, my home address, and by making other small decisions that protect the integrity of the project, like not putting advertisements on the blog, like affiliating it with a charitable organization. And I think all those things add up to create a safe environment where people feel like they can share a secret with me. Another thing I've learned through this project is that sometimes the threats that we need to be aware of or concerned with don't necessarily come from the people who are who are strangers. They come from the people who are close to us, our uncles, our parents' friends, teachers at school. I think in most cases, victimization comes from somebody you know. And in my case, trusting strangers was a step for me that I was a little bit hesitant to make, to get my home address out there. But having said that, I've never had a bad experience through sharing my home address with millions of strangers. So in a sense, I feel like I've trusted humanity and humanity hasn't let me down. Do I ever feel overwhelmed by the postcards, and do I ever hear voices from the secret tellers in my mind? I will say that one side effect of this project, having read so many secrets from strangers and kind of having this affinity with secrets, is that I can't go through an hour any day without being reminded of a secret that I've read from somebody. So I do feel like there's company with me all the time. Or sometimes I feel when I'm reading people's secrets every day that I'm invisible and I'm being invited to look into somebody's most private part of their life. Does it ever feel overwhelming? Do I ever dread going to the mailbox? Strangely enough, the truth couldn't be further from that. I think I have this neurotic desire to see or, you know, hunt down the imperfect, perfect secret, whatever that might be, the impossibly perfect secret. Maybe, you know, growing up in my family, there was some secret that I never found out about, and so my whole adulthood, I'm trying to search for this secret, whatever it must have been. But whatever the motivation, I can go through 200 postcards in a day, and when I get to that last postcard, I always wish there was one more. And today, for example, I'll just talk to you about today. I went to my mailbox 3 times before the mail actually came. It's pretty sad, but maybe I'm the right guy for this job. But let me just end by saying one thing. My secret really is that I hope the secrets never stop coming. I hope I can do this indefinitely. Thank you all so much for your attention.